Hello again, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another devotional. We're just off the Macrolave Road here. Standing at the bottom of the road, or the street that I grew up on. A lot of good memories of this part of the town. A good friend lived in this just house over to my right here, another one up to the left, and got up to all sorts of no good, throwing stuff at, well, maybe not mention that. But the army barracks is just up here to my left, and again, it's changed quite a bit. There used to be a Sanger tower just behind me here, but one thing that hasn't changed are the signs. You notice there's a sign there over my left shoulder: beware of dogs. We used to have a couple of Labrador dogs. The first one we had was called Darkie, and I remember coming home one day from school and Mum saying, we have to go to the army barracks. And I said, well, what's wrong? She says, Darkie has got in and that he's being held captive in there. So I remember as a little boy going into the army barracks with my mum, and she got a bit of a dressing down from Sergeant Major so-and-so about not keeping the dog under control. And I remember him saying, I can't believe that this, it was an old dog, he's about 15 or 16 at the time. He says, I don't know how your dog even got in without being torn apart by the guard dogs, because Alsatians used to patrol this area. There's an old street or a little road called Dog Kennel Lane that used to be there, just ran along the back of the playing fields of Wallace High School and the Army Barracks. That's closed as well. But the sign's still there, beware of the guard dogs. And as I thought about that, it reminds me of a verse of scripture, Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 2, where the Apostle Paul said, as he bids farewell to these believers in his letter, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Now, he's not speaking to the mailman here, not talking about literal dogs, but he's speaking about evil workers, false teachers who infiltrate the church and come with their pernicious doctrines and seek to draw people away from the truth, from what the Bible calls the faith once delivered unto the saints. And friends, we're living in days where we need to be very, very careful about what we listen to. Many people come under the guise of Christianity. They maybe even have a Bible in their hand, but they're dogs. And whenever the Bible speaks about dogs, it's speaking not about domesticated animals that are friendly, but it's speaking about dogs that roam the streets, that are unclean, that are unfriendly, that are hostile, wolves, if you like, in sheep's clothing. And the Saviour in his days spoke about the Pharisees, and that's what he called them. He says, you're whited sepulchres, you're like wolves in sheep's clothing. Beware of false prophets. They come unto you and they have the appearance of being orthodox, of being kosher, if you like, of being biblical. But he says, inside, they're ravenous wolves, and they want to kill and steal and destroy. And the Bible speaks a lot about false doctrine, false teachers, those who say, well, you can get to heaven by your own works. If you live a good life, you're getting to heaven. And you go to funeral services nowadays, I challenge you about that. How often do you hear that? So-and-so is a good person. They lived a good life. They're in a better place. They paid into the church. They were a good church attender. They tried their best. And that all sounds very plausible. It sounds very amenable. But it's not biblical, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, the Apostle Paul, whenever he was Saul of Tarsus, was a very religious man. And he boasted about his religion. He talked about his circumcision. He talked about the tribe that he belonged to. He talked about his learning. He talked about everything that he had done. But then he realized that he needed Christ in his life. And so at the verses following on here in Philippians chapter 2, he really shows the folly and the danger of a works-based religion or a works-based salvation. Rather, he points people to Christ, the Lord Jesus, who did the work for us, who lived a sinless, righteous life on our behalf, died an atoning death on the cross, shed his blood. And everything that we need, we find in Christ and in Christ alone. Like the hymn says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. I just want to finish by reading these verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in our works or efforts, no confidence in human ability. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. That's quite a CV, quite a list of honours, if you like, quite a list of qualifications. And people would look at someone like that and say, well, there's a man that knows God, there's a man that's right with God, there's a man who's on the right path and he's going to heaven. But Paul realized all of those things are worthless, because he says in verse number 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Again, Paul speaks about faith. Trusting Christ, receiving his righteousness, realizing that he has no righteousness of his own, but he needs the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he received that by faith, the garments of salvation. That's the righteousness that you need. Not your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I trust that you'll receive that righteousness today, that you'll realize I need Christ, that you'll give him your sin, and that he will give you his righteousness, and that you'll be made right for heaven and right for home.